Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our book pick segment for this morning. As you know, we've extended the roundtable panel up until Election Day, and we're moved our book segment until,
pushing everybody back.
Yeah, true. You got to wait an hour for book picks, but it's all good because it's worth the wait because Matt Tannenbaum is here, a dear friend, and he's with a bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. He's here to present a fine list of books that I've said this once and I'll say it again. He is one of those people who can find books that are out and new, and that even people who spend as much time in bookstores and with books as I do had no idea they even existed. And for that, I will forever be grateful, as you should be as well. Thank you very much for being here, sir.
Joe, I think I'm going to fall down on that one. I think you know every one of these books. You might know every one of these.
Oh, well,
uh-oh.
That's good.
Do you know about The Uncorker?
No, I don't know.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. No. Okay, good. No, okay. I have no idea.
I'll save that for last.
Okay.
The first one, good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to start you off this morning. I'm going to start us off this morning with a riddle.
Okay. I love riddles.
Well, I'm going to let me preface that by saying I'm not going to start with a book by Patrick Modiano.
Okay. but I assume there's one on the list.
There's one. He slipped down two notches, not because I like him any less. But these two other guys just came rushing right up. And the first
it's becoming
one
your
is,
signature now. It's a Modiano book on your segment. Yeah.
It's the Modiano segment, and I just happen to be here. Okay, here's the riddle.
Yes.
What do Jackie O,
yeah,
Paul Newman,
yeah,
Maureen Stapleton,
yes,
James Taylor, E.E. Cummings, and Stephen Laurent have in common? Jackie Onassis, Paul Newman, Maureen Stapleton, James Taylor, E.E. Cummings, D.H. Lawrence, and Stephen Laurent.
Now, I would dare say, well, I don't know. I would say, have they all been customers of your bookstore?
Yeah. No. Not Lawrence.
Well, and
yeah, right.
E.E. Cummings, right?
Right. No, here's the answer. They all appear in stories that I tell in a new book that just is being published today called Footnotes from the World's Greatest Bookstores.
There you go.
There it is. And here's the book. Take a look at it.
All right. This is
published by Crown.
A beautiful book from Crown. It's called Footnotes from the World's Greatest Bookstores. Bob Eckstein. And forward by Garrison Keillor. True Tales and Lost Moments from Book Buyers, Booksellers, and Book Lovers. How
so
could
this,
you beat that?
This guy, Bob Eckstein, is a cartoonist and a feature writer for The New Yorker. He got an assignment a couple of years ago to write a feature on lost bookstores in New York City, and it mushroomed into... He's a wonderful artist, and he's done 75 watercolors of bookstores all over the world.
So the cool thing here is when you open the book, which is not the typical way that you open a book.
No, you open
from not
bottom
from,
up.
Bottom up. Thank
right.
you, Matt. And then it goes normal books side to side, and you go to the first look at the, and for our friends, there's the camera.
Weird.
Here for our book friends who are watching us online. You go to the first page, and look, there's your bookstore.
There we are on the first page.
There you are. Look at that.
I said to Bob, I said...
I mean, not you,
what?
But the
right,
store.
Right. This beautiful painting he did.
Were you there when he was painting it?
No.
Did you know he
no,
didn't know
no.
he was there?
I'd never met him. We talked on the phone a couple times. I was on vacation a couple of years ago. He called me, and he said he read my book, and would I tell some story? He loved the way I told stories. Could I tell him some stories about my own bookshop? Because the stories were about the Gotham in New York, and the Gotham stories are in this book as well.
Now, the great thing about this is that in the description of the bookstore, and we'll get to some of the other bookstores in a second, but for your store in Lenox, it says current owner Matthew Tannenbaum. You're the only owner they've ever had, right?
No, I bought it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I bought it, and he kind of missed that first paragraph. He says it started in a living room.
Okay.
I'm going to plug the guy who started it, a guy named David Silverstein. He started it in 1966 in a living room in a house behind a cafe. This is what he says, a cafe. The cafe later became Alice's Restaurant.
Look at that. Now, I thought when you celebrated your 40th, your 40 years, that was your 40 years.
That was my 40 years.
Okay.
The story's been around for 10 years more than that.
I did not know that.
Okay.
So I learned something from this segment. That's right.
Look, you learned something new from a new book.
Well, that's what we're supposed to do. And all of the bookstores, I've said this many times, I go all around the country, and the first thing I have to do is go into, I just told you came back from Seattle, and the first thing you said to me is, did you go to Elliott Bay? And of course I did.
Right.
Absolutely. You
right.
go to the great bookstores, and they're all in here.
Yeah.
These wonderful, terrific independent bookstores.
And there are, so he's called up, he's spoken to, or maybe visited, in my case, he called me. And he asked, tell me a story. You have a wonderful bookstore, tell me a story. And there are great stories. We don't have to tell my story today on the air, but you got to come into the store or take a look at the book and find out the story that I tell.
And what do you get from it? You not only get great stories, you get a guide to wonderful bookstores. So there's the travel element to it.
Right.
There is also, but there's also just the beautiful art. The paintings are incredible. They're absolutely beautiful.
And he sent me a print of the painting that he did.
All good stuff. And now I have to go through this and say, how many of these have I been to?
This is what people are going to do. This is what people have been doing. The book came in yesterday. And or I had a copy over the weekend, and people were looking at it, just doing exactly that. Looking, I've been there. I want to go there. Yeah.
Well, it's Footnotes from the World's Greatest Bookstores.
Yeah, we don't do best. We just go right to greatest.
World's greatest. and there are sort of, there's the Shakespeare and Company in
yeah,
Paris,
yeah,
which
yeah.
which I wouldn't have gone to had you not recommended it to me.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
Good stuff. It's a beautiful book. It's Footnotes from the World's Greatest Bookstores, Bob Eckstein, and a foreword by Garrison Keillor, and a lot from our good friend Matt Tannenbaum in here as well. All right.
And we're going to try to get Bob to come up sometime, either soon or when schedules allow, to have a party.
Oh, let me know. I'd love
and,
to go to that.
And I think we should do something. You should come over for that.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
So are there any other books to talk about?
I think there are.
Willard Spiegelman, did you have him on the show yesterday?
I had him on the show yesterday.
He wrote to me and he said, I was on yesterday. Is the cash register ringing? Because I have his book. It's called Senior Moments, as your listeners know. And did he tell you how he got the title?
No.
It's in the very last page. He said he was fishing around for a title after he finished putting all the essays together. These are eight essays. His first book, or his first trade book, was called Seven Pleasures. It came out some years ago. These are eight essays, and he was talking to his friends, and they said, well, at least you're not going to call it Senior Moments. And he said, what a great idea.
Yeah, I'll show you.
So these are essays that start with his first book, Seven Pleasures. The essays were on, I have it earmarked here, bookmarked, reading, walking, looking, dancing, listening, swimming, and writing. In this book, he continues, and his essays are, come on, they're right here.
Yes.
Talk.
Yeah.
Dallas. So this is his geography book. Dallas, Japan, and Manhattan are all chapters. Books, art, nostalgia. And he finishes with quiet.
And he's had most of his professional life living in Dallas.
In Dallas, right.
And he's not a New Yorker, but I think in his old, he's 70 years old, is going to, is making the transition to become
to New York.
New York.
Yeah.
So
he lived in Lenox for about a year, a little over a year, some years ago, is how I got to know Willard. He was the first Amy Clampett resident, and he was in Lenox to edit her letters. And we became good friends, and he would love coming in the store. We'd talk about books, and then his first book came out, and I was just blown away by it. I love his writing. He's erudite. He would not like himself being called erudite.
No, I don't think, but it is, but it's a beautiful book, and it's a beautiful meditation, and, I'm 2 years away from 50, but I loved it. I thought it was really, it's about aging, but it's just about life. I don't think it has really anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have thought it's about,
yeah.
Well, because I'm the same age as him, so.
So you're putting it out of your mind is what you're doing, but all right.
So Willard's book, Senior Moments, Looking Back, Looking Ahead, Essays, published by Farrar Straus.
And Giroux.
And Giroux. And it's a lovely book. And you come in, when you look at the Bob Eckstein book, you can look at Willard's book, too.
All right. What do we have next?
This guy who I favor so much. Patrick
right.
Modiano, the French Nobel Prize-winning novelist whose books are being translated pell-mell into English. And I've read about a dozen of them so far. And the latest one is this little book called Little Jewel. And Modiano's motif is loss, abandonment, and a giant question mark. What happened?
So how many more are there?
I don't know.
I'm just trying to figure out how many more visits we'll have that you be talking about him, but that's okay.
Gosh, look, Matt Tanner is coming. Maybe we should have another fun drive or something.
just have Modiano on, right?
Well, I'd love Modiano to come over.
That'd be great. But
he's about the same age as Willard and me. I think you like him.
So when did this book come out?
This book just came out in August, September.
Okay.
Little Jewel, published by Yale. Yale University Press, the Margellus World Library of Literature, is their imprint. They have about seven or eight of them. A couple of other publishers, Godin, Houghton Mifflin, University of Nebraska.
Yes.
He's all over the map. He gets. I guess his agent is going everywhere. And I don't know how many more there are. I really don't.
Well, I tease you, but in all seriousness, I would not have known about him, even though he won the Nobel Prize for Literature, without you bringing him to our attention, and have now read one or two, and they are beautiful. So I thank you for that. They're really incredible stuff.
Little Jewel is different. Like Young Once was one I talked about a few months ago, I think, was written in the third person. That was the only one that I've read of his that's written in the third person. Little Jewel is written as the narrator is a woman, and she has lost her mother. And she's on the metro and thinks she sees her. Her mother died. She got word 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But here she is. And this is a theme in his that there are people hiding. People are hiding for whatever reason they're hiding. And he, or in this case she, is taking it very personally, and she has a series of adventures which remind her with another family, with a little girl who reminds her of herself and reminds her that years ago, long ago, she was called Little Jewel. And it's just another lovely meditation, and there's yearning, there's no whining. There's a little whining in some of his other, Out of the Dark is
a little whiny.
Is a little whiny, but, and I think I talked about Out of the Dark last time.
Yes.
But I don't know if I read that quote that I found afterwards. Can I read this quote to you?
Sure.
This is a lovely line from his previous book that I talked about.
Yeah.
This is him looking back. The narrator. This is not Modiano. This is a narrator looking back on a period in his life. And he says, much later I found the photomat pictures from Holland Park at the bottom of a shoebox full of old letters, and I was struck by the innocence of our faces. We inspired trust in people, and we had no real qualities except the one that youth gives to everyone for a very brief time, like a vague promise that will never be kept.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful, beautiful line, and it doesn't depress me. Like it might, like I've seen the expression on people's faces when I recite
that. It's a beautiful wine that doesn't depress me.
How's that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So
we'll take those.
Okay. How much time do we have?
We got some time. We're all right.
So this is a new book. This is
for you. We'll make time.
Oh, thank you, Joe. This is a new book that I found out about. I should have found out if I'd been studying the fall list last spring, whenever all the other booksellers find out. But I came across it this summer, absolutely on music, Conversations between Murakami and Seiji Ozawa.
Now, that is just money in the bank, right? I mean, you have one of our greatest novelists who is just
pours
unparalleled.
Him out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Seiji Ozawa, who is a not only a world legend, but a local legend.
But a
as
local,
well.
Right. Yeah. Right. I've never met Seiji. He was not an English speaker. He didn't come in the bookstore. His wife used to come in the store when they were here. And so some years ago, you know, after he left Boston and the BSO, and he's had his health problems. He's had esophageal cancer. And at a certain point during the time that he had the cancer, that he was first diagnosed, he met Murakami. I think their children were friends.
Oh.
And got together.
Okay.
And had a conversation. And the Ozawa's daughter said, you know, Dad, you should have taped that. That's a really great conversation you just had. And so they met over the next couple of years, and they taped these conversations with Murakami, who is a big classical music fan, knows a lot about not just classical music, jazz, and popular music as well. And they would sit down and have these conversations. The first one is about Glenn Gould. It goes on for, you know, pages and pages and pages of Glenn Gould and how he would have conducted Glenn Gould, how Lenny conducted Glenn Gould at some famous New York Philharmonic concert, where Lenny Bernstein got up in front of the audience and said, Glenn Gould, this guy's going to play this piece now, and I don't like the way he's playing it, but here it is.
Yeah.
And nobody ever did that before. So these are marvelous and marvelous stories, marvelous anecdotes. And Ozawa said at a certain point, or Murakami says, he says, you know, we told this story, and this story should not be lost. It's kind of like those stories in the bookstore book.
Right.
You have these great conversations that happen at a moment. So this is a beautiful book. It's coming out in November, so I'm jumping the gun. We'll take advance orders. And I could have waited till December when I see you next, if you have me next.
Yes, and, you're invited.
But thank you. Just, I need some reassurance.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I love you, Matt.
So, and I love you, Joe.
Thank you.
So Seiji Ozawa and, how do we pronounce Murakami's first name? Haruki?
Haruki Murakami, Haruki Murakami is how I've pronounced it.
So it's coming out from Knopf in November, and it's a beautiful book. I don't know if it has
I've credited you with years ago introducing me to Murakami. Murakami. Could that be accurate?
It could be.
I don't know. All right.
We talk about a lot.
I know we do. We get a lot of work done. All right, we have time for one more book, so let's do that.
This is this book, The Uncorker of Ocean Bottles by Michelle Cuevas. Michelle is a Berkshire resident, grew up in Lee, went to Williams College, went to UVA, got a master's in writing at the MFA program at UVA, and writes children's books. We came across her a year or so ago when her book Confessions of an Imaginary Friend came out. And we had a big party for her, and she's a delightful person. And this is another delightful book, The Uncorker of Ocean Bottles, illustrated by, who's it, Aaron Stead?
Aaron Stead. The book is gorgeous.
The book is absolutely gorgeous.
Really beautiful.
And I don't know when she wrote it, but she told me that she knew she wanted Aaron Stead to illustrate it. And they finally got together, and so The Uncorker of Ocean Bottles, briefly, there's a guy, and his job is he lives in a house on a hill overlooking the ocean, and his job is to scan the water and find any bottles that might have messages.
And the expression in the faces, and especially of the uncorker, beautiful.
Yeah,
absolutely beautiful.
Just captured.
Beautiful words and a gorgeous book. This is from Dial Press, and this is just out.
We had a lovely, lovely event for Michelle a month ago, 2 months ago. I can't remember now.
All right.
And so he sometimes he has to deliver the messages just to the next village, and the illustration that shows that is heartbreaking. But sometimes he has to trudge for miles. And for a child to look at this
don't
book...
Don't we all?
for a child looking at this book, you know, the word yonder comes to mind. And that's just that place I don't know about yet. And he only has one regret, that he never gets any messages himself. But he realizes, and I'm going to give away one of the great lines in the book now, he realizes that getting a message for himself would be as unlikely as finding a mermaid's toe somewhere on a sandy beach.
Beautiful.
Beautiful
Michelle
stuff. Cuevas,
Michelle Cuevas, The Uncorker of Ocean Bottles. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, which, in case you have not heard, is one of the greatest bookstores in the world. And we know this because it's in print now. You can visit them at 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts. Matt has stories to tell you, for goodness sakes. Go over there. He'll talk to you. You can also visit them online, bookstoreinlenox.com. I feel very, very lucky each time you walk through the door that I get to sit down and speak with you. So thank you very, very much. We look forward to having you back in December. And people can see the book list on our website. They can see it on your website. They can check it out, Bookstore in Lenox, or go to wamc.org/roundtable. Matt Tannenbaum, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Joe.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.